Well, we are in our third week of our worship series called Reclaim. We want to reclaim the place of the table in our lives because for Jesus, the table was a really, really important place. In fact, we've looked at the book of Luke, and when the author of the book of Luke tries to describe how Jesus came into this world, he said this. He said, the Son of Man came what? He came eating and drinking. He came eating and drinking so often. It goes on. It says, and you say, here is
a glutton
and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. It appears that Jesus was eating and drinking. He found himself around tables so often that people accused him of being a glutton and a drunkard. And so if Jesus found himself around a table that often, we ought to pay attention to it. Because I think, as I read the story of Jesus' life, it's around the table that Jesus takes the opportunity to teach us, to give us a glimpse, a picture in to the life that Jesus wants for you and me. Meals were about something so much more than food. It was around tables that Jesus gives us a glimpse of what he calls the kingdom of God, the life that he wants for you and for me. And so to get into that a little bit today, like I did with the kids, I've got this label maker. Raise your hand if you own a label maker at home. Be honest. Raise your hand. These are the type A anal retentive people in our midst. No, honestly, label makers are great. My wife loves label makers. And a couple years ago, we bought a label maker for the ladies in the office. And you would have thought that I handed them the keys to a Ferrari. Like they were like enthralled by this label maker. And they took off and they started labeling everything and anything. If we go on, they labeled where the paper clips go. They labeled where the staples go. They even labeled where the paper goes, specifically the 8.5 by 11 copy paper. They went on to label more things. Our mailboxes all have labels in the office. Even if I pull this out, my microphone has a label on it if we go to the next one there. Everything got a label. And so in my kind of devious mind, I thought this last week, what would it be like to bring this label maker home and let my boys play with it a little bit? And so I brought it home, and our son Joran, our younger boy, he grabbed it. And the first thing he did is he went to his room and he put this label, J-O-R-E-N, Joran, on this toy, which is one of his favorite toys. It also happens to be a toy his brother covets. Wishes he had. And so Joran was very clear to his brother, it has my name on it. This is my toy. Well, then they got kind of thoughtful, our two boys. We teach our kids the share, save, spend method of kind of taking care of their allowance. And we've got a little container for their allowance that has three drawers. And so they got really thoughtful. They said, why don't we put labels on it? So here you have share, save, spend. Isn't that thoughtful? Would you say, aw, for my boys? Yeah, really thoughtful. Well, that from there, it basically went downhill. Just saying, I was having my coffee the other morning, and of course, my coffee cup needed a label. And kind of goes downhill from there. Joran found his bag of candy. His candy needed a label. My candy, it said. His mom needed a label. His brother labeled him brother. Of course, his dad needed a label. And even the dog got a label. I want to talk today a little bit about labels. Because you know as well as I do that so much of our identity is wrapped up in labels. And it all starts maybe back in high school. You remember high school, all the labels, all the cliques that there were? In high school, there were the popular kids, and there were the jocks, there were the floaters, those kids that went from group to group. There were the kids that were really into fine arts and music. There were the nerds or the brainiacs. And then there were some of these kids we might call normal. They were the everyday kids that sort of floated under the radar. And then there were the druggies and the stoners. There are the loners. You see, it starts in high school. We get these labels, and so much of our identity, who we are, we get from these labels. When we come into this world, we get labels like son, daughter, brother, sister, and eventually grandson, granddaughter, and eventually grandmother, grandfather. We get these labels, and we go on in life, and we're a wife or a husband, a mother or a father. You might be engaged, you might be single, you might be dating, and maybe widowed. You see, we get our identity, who we are, from these labels in our work life. We might have been a banker, an electrician, a teacher, doctor, salesman, contractor, lawyer, office manager. So much of who we believe we are comes from these titles, from these labels. And all our life, we try and climb the corporate ladder, from manager to regional manager, from vice president to CFO, CEO, president. And man, if we could ever be an owner. You see, who we are gets wrapped up in these labels. And it's interesting, in corporate America today, they know that for millennials, the younger generation that's moving into the workforce, more than ever, who they are is wrapped up into the titles, the labels that you give them in the marketplace. And so companies have started to get rather creative with the labels or the titles they give new employees. For example, at Blue Cross Blue Shield, they're hiring a director of storytelling. Like, who wouldn't want that job, right? Another company out in California, they're hiring a legal ninja. And the legal ninja is an attorney who will come in and hopefully take care of all their legal issues. Another company in California is hiring a happiness manager. Everybody go, aww, right? Who wouldn't want that? What if you're having a bad day and you're the happiness manager, huh? Right? They know that our identity is wrapped up in all kinds of labels. Still, we all have other labels. Divorced, recovering alcoholic, cancer survivor, underemployed, unemployed. You see, we get who we are from labels. And I think we see this nowhere maybe more clearly than in politics, actually. Has anyone noticed, raise your hand, that our politics are rather polarizing? Anybody notice that? All you have to do is come to my parents' place on Thanksgiving for dinner, and you'll realize that very clearly. Politics is really, really polarizing. And here's what I think. I could be totally wrong. That the polarization in our politics at times, or maybe more often than not, has nothing to do with the issues at hand, actually. It has to do with the identification we have with one of these two words, Republican or Democrat. Because we get part of our identity wrapped up in those two words. Somehow who we are is entangled with people like Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden. You see, we get so much of our identity from these labels. And there are all these labels that we choose or maybe are given to us or we strive for. But here's what I believe. There's a whole host of other labels that are even more significant. And they're the labels that rattle around in our head more than any other. They go with us from morning till night. They're the labels that we give ourselves the moment we wake up in the morning and we first look in the mirror. And we're reminded of them when we go to bed and we look in the mirror before we hit the hay. And those labels go something like this. Someone sees you. They haven't seen you in a while. And they say, you look so great. Have you lost weight? And you know what we do, because we're good Midwesterners. We do this. We go, no, right? Rather than saying, thank you, we go, help me. No, right? Because inside, we have a couple of messages spinning around. The first message is this. If they only knew how tight these pants were, right? And the other message is the message we told ourselves when we got on the scale that morning. And that message goes something like this. I'm out of what? Shape. You see, we got these labels that we give ourselves. There's also that label. People see our kids in church quite often. And our kids, because they've always been in church, they've learned, you know, to sit in church or to at least entertain themselves. And people say to us, oh, your kids are just so wonderful. You must be great parents. And of course, rather than saying, thank you, I say, help me. No, right? And I do that because there are messages rattling around in my head. The first message is this, if they only knew. And the second message is this, I know that the night before, because I was working too late, I missed my son's soccer game. And so the message, the label that I've given myself is this, dead, beat, help me, dad, right? We do this, don't we? We give ourselves the crummiest labels. Or someone looks at you and says, you are so good at fill in the blank. It could be anything. You are so good. How did you get so good at that? And of course, rather than saying thank you, we say one more time, no, right? Because inside, we've already determined there was a label we gave ourselves. I'm not that good. I'm just kind of a... What's that say? I'm just kind of a fake. You see, why is it the labels we give ourselves are always the crummiest? Have you noticed that? We give ourselves all the unlabels. When we look in the mirror, I'm unattractive, I'm unsuccessful, I'm unlovable, I'm unlikable, I'm unworthy. You see, there are all these labels, and some of them we choose, and others, they just pop up in our head. We give them to ourselves. It's like we're label makers. We're addicted to labels. Well, in the ancient world Jesus lived in, it seems that they were infatuated with labels as well. Jesus met this guy by the name of Levi, and he said to Levi, I want you to follow me. And in that moment, when Jesus invited him, it was so transformational for Levi that Levi decided he's going to throw a big party. And he invites anyone and everyone to join Jesus at this party. And we know he invited everyone and anyone because everybody who came to the party had a label. Everyone at the table had a label. The story goes like this. It says this. After this, Jesus went out and saw a label number one. A tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Well, then Levi held a big banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the who belonged to their sect, they were there, and they complained to who? His disciples. Why do you eat and drink with
tax collectors and sinners.
Jesus answered, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Huh? Did you notice how at the table, everyone at the table has a label? They all do. There's the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, the tax collectors, sinners, disciples. They all have a label. And here's the thing. For Jesus, there were no labels at the table. I mean, Jesus invited everyone and anyone to the table. He disregarded labels. And here's what you need to know about Jesus' disregard for labels. It's what got him killed. It's what took him to the cross. Because in that culture, it was absolutely appalling to disregard labels. The people you invited to the table meant everything. Who you invited to the table showed the depth and the breadth of your faith, the quality and the quantity of your faith. And so when Jesus invites anyone and everyone, he invites Pharisees to sit next to sinners, his disciples to sit next to the teachers of the law. People were disgusted. I mean, guys, it would be like, you know how you have that aunt who doesn't like bugs and spiders and hates the outdoors? It would be like inviting that aunt to show up at deer camp, and she shows up at deer camp in pink high heels, right? It would have been appalling, or actually a little more seriously, it would be like going to your kid's elementary school and going into the lunchroom, and there sitting with kids would be drug dealers, grown adults, and prostitutes, right? This was totally appalling to those ancient people. And here's why Jesus does it. This is why Jesus invites anyone to the table. Because Jesus knows that you and I, far too often, we find our self-worth in labels. We find our worth in all those titles, all those labels, all those promotions that we get in life. We find our self-worth in labels. Or maybe to put it a different way, we cling to labels to give us our worth. But for God, our worth always exceeds the labels we cling to. I mean, think about the people in this story. If we get that list up here, there were tax collectors at the table. Tax collectors were hated by everybody. In fact, tax collectors weren't just seen as the enemies of the people. They were seen as the enemies of God. Because the tax collectors received their payment from Rome. And the people of faith in that day, they thought that the Messiah was going to come and wipe out Rome. Rome was the enemy, not of them, but of God as well. And so these tax collectors working for Rome were seen as the enemies of God. But God, Jesus saw through that, saw beyond all that, invites people like Zacchaeus, the tax collector. He says, I want to go to your house, because he knows there's more to Zacchaeus than simply being a product of Rome. Around the table, there are Pharisees. The Pharisees get a bad rap in the Bible. They're seen as hypocrites. They're seen as legalists. But Jesus looks beyond all that and always is inviting them to the table. And of course, there are the disciples who, of course, have it all together, right? Wrong. The disciples, when they're told to go right, they always go left. Jesus tells them to stay awake. They fall asleep. He said, Peter denies him. But get this, it's Peter on which Jesus builds the church. Judas betrays him. And yet Judas still had a seat at the Last Supper. And then there's this whole crowd of people we call sinners. And they too always have a seat at Jesus' table. You see, here's the thing. For Jesus, we cling to labels to give us our worth. But for God, our worth always exceeds the labels we cling to. You see, the table was about so much more than food for Jesus. It was at the table where Jesus wanted to give us a glimpse of the life that God wanted for you and for me. And it was at the table that Jesus was always reminding people that whatever label you carry with you from day to day, there are absolutely no labels at my table. In fact, there's only one label that will ever matter. And that label is this: you belong to me, Jesus says. You're one of mine. You're a child of God. And no other label matters. You see, here's the thing. We cling to labels to give us our worth. But for God, our worth always exceeds the labels we cling to. And so as I close today, I wonder about the table in your home. I wonder. I mean, what if for you that table resembled more and more the table that Jesus was always setting? I mean, it was at that table that Jesus invited everyone and anyone. And there were absolutely no labels at the table. And because there were no labels at the table, it transformed people's lives. They walked away from that table different, changed forever. I mean, I wonder what it would be like at your table to be intentional, to say at our table there are going to be no labels. Those labels you carry with you from day to day, when you sit at our table, they are gone. I mean, I think about the labels our kids today carry, our grandkids. Right? What if those labels, when they came to your table, they're just gone? And the only label that mattered is that those children are children of God. You see, I wonder what kind of security that would bring for our kids I bring for our spouses. I bring for the friends that we invite to that table. You see, here's what I know for sure. We cling to labels to give us our worth, but for God, our worth always exceeds the labels we cling to. Let me offer up a prayer. Gracious God, you know the labels that we carry around with us. And some of those labels might be positive, but other labels, they drag us down and they beat us up. Jesus, you did something really intentional at the table. You eliminated all labels. Everyone was always welcome. And so, God, we give thanks for that, to know that we always have a seat at your table. And God, help us to create tables in our homes where there are absolutely no labels, so that we know that the labels we carry around with us from day to day, our worth always exceeds those labels we cling to. God, we give thanks for this. And we pray this in your name. And all God's people said, amen.